apologize for getting started a wee bit late, but we are here. Yvonne, would you call the roll?
Mm-hmm. Steve Blair.
Here.
Linda Craighead.
Here.
Martha Dexter.
Here.
Rena Dubin.
Here.
Martine Gomez is absent. Elise Granada.
Here.
Yolanda Henry.
Here.
Nicolara Dunbar Johnsons.
Here.
Tara Martin.
Here.
And Teresa Tomei.
Here. And I do want to make a couple of announcements to the public, and that the meeting that was scheduled as a kind of an open forum for the public on November 12th has been canceled. And however, there is a City to You meeting scheduled for November 15th, and that one will be at the Santa Cruz Bible Church. And there has been a press release on this as well, so you know it should be available online and in the Sentinel as well. And if you haven't been to a City to You meeting before, I have. You know, it's really worth your while. So.
And we will be scheduling a community meeting. We just couldn't get all the key players there that we needed for that day.
Let's see, additional materials?
None, just the press release. Okay.
So, moving on to additions and deletions to the agenda.
The only thing I would add is under C, we're still going to talk about the framework of the community meeting, but it won't be on that particular date.
Okay. All righty. And Linda, you have something?
No, I was going to actually point that out.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Now it's, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I can give you the agenda.
Number four.
Okay. So there was a discussion of these minutes by email and things that were
so we do that, but we do that after the second, and then there's a discussion.
Okay.
I'm doing Robert's rules.
Right, so I second.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay, so
it's been moved and seconded.
Moved and seconded. Rena and Martha seconded. So, discussion.
I did have some concerns that I wrote in the email, but
yeah,
they were deleted. My concerns are addressed.
Okay.
My
good.
Personal
concern. Okay. And
are we
meaning?
Is there a newer version of the minutes?
Yeah, because I don't.
So I was concerned that all of the pros and cons,
yes,
that
yeah,
it was more summarized as opposed to listed bullet point by bullet point, which, and so that was it. Now it just says the committee laid out two big sheets of paper, wrote down, and discussed their opinion. So what are the pros and cons for each option?
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
And we proceeded as if it was a clarification on what actually happened.
Okay.
So we didn't view it as controversial.
Rather than trying to document all of that.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. It would it be possible at some point to document all of this?
Any other additions or deletions?
So I should discard my earlier version. Of
yes, please.
All right. And I also forgot to mention, if you have not attended a public meeting before, that we will entertain public comment after the member reports, and everyone is limited to 3 minutes. Yeah. All right. So, all those in favor of the minutes of October 26th, please say aye.
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 Abstentions?
One.
Okay. Thank you. And, all right. Thank you. Now
I have no additional reports this evening. I think we can talk in the body of the committee meeting.
Okay. No additional reports. Member reports.
I actually do have a member report. My printer was being kind of funky, so I don't have a copy for everyone, and I will certainly let it forward it out so that it's
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so that it's available to the public. And so I did a focus group. I did a focus group with 21 homeschool teenagers today, this afternoon, They were all, I'll just go through very quickly. They were all library users, and they all had visited the downtown branch, kind of unlike some of the other focus groups that we had done. And we first talked about the current downtown branch, and they immediately, their first comment was that it was unsanitary, and they proceeded to talk a lot about the homeless safety, security issues that we have all of us have heard. One student did mention that he noticed there was a great staff that helped homeless people, just as the other side of that, and he appreciated that the homeless could get services here. They were very, said very nice things about the staff and programs and other things like that. We did talk about, I showed them some examples of like some of the things that we've been looking at, some 21st century examples, and they were very excited about the possibilities. They mentioned the community space was exciting to them, access to technology, a place to study. They really liked the ideas of possibilities for event spaces, especially for teen events, you know, they're teenagers, and they just had some ideas about some different kind of teen programming that could happen here at the downtown branch, which is not currently happening. There was really, I mentioned these options here, and kind of gave an overview, and there was no consensus with what they, but they did have a lot to say. Several of them mentioned that the perfect solution, in their words, was in an ideal world, it would be the 37 million remodel option. That's what several of them thought would be the perfect thing. They liked the library's location. They had reluctance to tear down a building. They were unclear what this building would be purposed for or reused for and how that factored into the financing of things. So that was kind of more of their thinking. They were also concerned about the debts. As teenagers, they would be helping to pay for them, I guess. But they said the debts are worrisome, and they also mentioned it's challenging to find more funds. Was the quote that they used. And they also said the outside of the building is fine, it's the inside that's the problem. As far as the parking garage option, one teen mentioned environmental concerns, but most of them were, not most of the teens, but most of the people who commented were concerned just about the aesthetics of it. They just couldn't envision what it would be like. They had noise concerns about, like, wouldn't you smell the exhaust? Wouldn't you hear the noise from the parking garage? They really liked the idea of natural light, and they just couldn't see how natural light would be part of a parking garage shared use structure. So one team did mention how that he thought that additional parking would be a really good idea for library users specifically. And so that's basically it.
Thank you.
It's similar to some of the concerns the other teen group had from the Boys and Girls Club, and that was how are we concentrated on more of the type of programming that they would like to see in the library. But these issues came up as well, feeling unsafe and parking. They were also concerned about, you know, his mom can't find a place to park. So, okay, thank you. Any other reports? All right, well, moving on to public comments.
Jean Brocklebeck. Oh,
that's a great report from the students. Mm-hmm. That's good news to hear about for the future, if they're mm-hmm. thinking those kinds of ways. In March of 2013, the Santa Cruz Public Library published an amazing facilities master plan. Now, I think that all of you have studied that. I looked at that really carefully. I was very impressed with that. It obviously cost a lot of money to put that together because there was a lot that went into it. And in that facilities master plan, for the downtown library to maintain it, $8.9 million, to gain was going to be another almost million and a little bit more. In other words, for $10 million. But some of the things that were talked about were alternative energy. I think that had to do with solar panels, upgrading the roof and putting solar panels on here, teen space, computers, technology. It was amazing what in 2013 the vision was for fixing this library to not only maintain but gain much of what we've been talking about. Well, that was 4 years ago. Even if we doubled it, think what we could do for $20 million. Then in, that was March of 2013. Then in June of 2016, we voted on Measure S. I'm not sure how many of you have read the ballot language of Measure S. But the ballot language said, the purpose of taxing ourselves and going into debt by buying these bonds and paying not only the bonds, but the interest on the bonds, which is almost twice as much, not quite, was to modernize, upgrade, and repair. And they gave examples of bathrooms that needed fixing, electrical problems, failing roofs. Modernize, upgrade, and repair. And then, and I'm quoting, construct or expand facilities where necessary. That is the language that the taxpayers in this entire county voted on. Nowhere in Measure S did it say, let's take $23 million and build a brand new downtown library. Then, in December of 2016, the city council heard a staff report that was in part from the city manager and the library director about the idea of putting a new library in the parking garage. And I wonder how many of you have read the motion and the staff report of that December 2016 meeting.
Michael Lewis.
Okay, it's been almost 6 months now this committee has been meeting here. And I'm pretty disappointed with where we are right now, especially in comparison with the facilities master plan that was developed 4 years ago, 5 years ago. What's happened is you've been exposed to all the wow factor, spiffy things for, that a library could be, but which we can't afford. And so when we come down to the reality of $23 million, there's a high level of disappointment expressed. Oh, well, we can't do all the wow factors. So rather than go through this process of continuing disappointment of what we can't do, I'd like to make a suggestion. I'd like you to make a list of all the things that are necessary to make this building a top quality, up to standard library. All the projects, starting with energy efficiency and resource conservation, replacing the air handling system that was built in the 60s. Make a list of that, prioritize that list. The most important things at the top, for me, energy conservation, and the amount of money that will take to do each of those items on that list. And then off to the right of that, have an accumulative expense column that just tots up all that money. And when it get and go down that accumulated expense column, and when you get to $23 million, take a big red magic marker and draw a red line across there and label that stop here. That's what you can do with $23 million. Take that to the city council and say, do this and no more. Make this library, make this building into a top quality, up to standard library that those of us who are contributing money for this project will be proud to look at and know and see that our money has accomplished something worthwhile and that we're really pleased to have a new facility here. I think that's a goal that can be reached. I think it's a goal that will make everybody happy, and it's a goal that will give us a good library in downtown. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Judy Grunstra.
Hello, everyone. I was also looking at the facilities master plan, and I spent 8 months doing that, and there's still valuable insights in that, I believe. So So I have some pros and cons because this seems like the place where we can add these, right? Not afterwards.
And I had asked Janice to add in a different color from public comment if you're comfortable with that.
Sure. Okay. So I believe I sent you all the letter from Bonnie Belcher. She runs the antique fair, and you can add the list to the list of cons. Demise of the antique fair, because that's not going to happen if she if the garage.
Jamie, sheriff.
Right. Yes, please. So cons and D, and another con would be just think about the sunlight that would be blocked by this looming hulk of a garage on the adjacent blocks. And they just put some outdoor seating outside of Hulu's restaurant, so people can enjoy eating outdoors. But if you have this garage there, you can have people, cars coming and going while you're trying to eat outside. A pro of the renovation, it wouldn't be the need to demolish the building and dispose of all those materials in a landfill. And it also deducts, I believe, about $400,000 from the cost.
Is that this one?
Yes, A1. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I know I'm taking my time up here.
It's okay.
Can you
tell me again?
Oh, no need to demolish the building and deal with the disposal.
Less waste generated, probably.
Yeah, right.
Less landfill waste.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. I'll wait till you stop. Stop the clock.
Okay.
Okay. One of the alleged pros of D, which I disagree with, is we move the library closer to Pacific Avenue. Somehow, you know, it'll attract more people. I think the only more people that you'll get coming in there is people who want to use a bathroom or charge their devices.
Yes.
So how do you want me to say that?
I don't know. The visitor, you know, quality of the visitor. I don't know.
Yeah.
Quality as a visitor?
Well, no, but no. That doesn't sound good.
Yeah. Let's see now that there. Are you saying it won't attract more traffic? More
the visits will increase quantitatively, but not necessarily for library use you want to encourage.
Okay.
Okay.
Access to toilets.
Well, that's a pro for everyone, but you know. Okay. Don't worry, it's not too long a list.
Okay.
Should I just let her list them off instead of giving her a time limit?
Okay, so also somebody said last week, well, it's closer to the metro. The D is closer to the metro bus station.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think being a few blocks farther away from the bus station discourages people from going to Bookshop Santa Cruz or, favorite restaurant. It's
the theater.
Yeah, our downtown isn't that hard to navigate it for a few blocks.
So you want me to say
more items do you have?
I just have one.
One more?
Two. I have two more comments. Yeah.
Can we do them quickly?
Yes, I will.
All right.
I would think the committee would find it useful to visit a 44,000 square foot, one-story space, preferably a library, to experience how that functions and what it feels like. How's the sound in there? Can staff
and
monitor?
What's the next one?
This is all part of the same one of visiting a 44,000 square foot building. Can staff monitor all the corners to make sure nothing untoward is going on there? And does it feel warm and welcoming? A big 44,000 square foot room service. Okay, so the last one is, if the committee is concerned, it's not.
Okay.
Thanks. Committee is concerned the public will be disappointed with what they're getting for $23 million in a renovation. They'll just have to be presented with the facts and figures. And if upgrades are desired over time, efforts can be made to achieve them. I'm pretty sure it won't be disappointing, and as much as I love a brand new building, but I think Nola Tamp can do a fine job renovation here on this site. Thank you.
Thank you.
Reed Searle.
Yeah, good evening. I want to add a sentence to what I said last time. Now, what Jean said kind of upset me a little bit. If we are constrained by the language of the proposition, mm-hmm. and you do something other than just, thank you, Jean, something other than just do the repairs as the measure indicated, well, too bad I'm still not practicing law. I might have at least a lawsuit. I suggest you get some expert opinion on that. But what I wanted to say, in addition to what I said last week, was, you know, I listened to the architect talk about various libraries around the country. They have some wonderful ideas, and I'm certainly not certain that you have adopted all of them, factored them in, and decided what you really want to do for a new library. So I still think that the best thing for you to do would be to do the bare work necessary. This is what Jean and Michael have been talking about. And then put it off until you decide what it is, or you or some other committee decides what it is you really want to do to have a first-class library. I'm not sure that any of these proposals here add up to that.
Thank you.
Colonel Maxwell.
Yeah. I participated in buying complex things ranging from space systems to campuses. And the teams I've been on do a thing called requirements and needs analysis. By the way, there's far more money in Washington, D.C. wasted in the civilian agencies like the Department of Labor and Agriculture and incompetence than you'll see in the Defense Department. Because the Defense Department has a higher ethos and a rigid requirements. Do we really need to spend the taxpayers' money on this? By the way, what are the real needs and requirements? What is the optimal utilization of the money? What's the optimal, most efficient utilization? And do we meet the needs of the customers? I've monitored customers here the last several weeks. I don't see full patrons of library customers here, even on a Saturday, let alone a weekday. I do see homeless people coming in so they can sleep. I see them coming in to use the restroom. I see people coming in to use their phone. I see a few brief participants. And I'm fond of librarians, and I'm fond of libraries. But the reality is, people now have Google. They don't need research reference librarians as much. It's great to do it for school kids. It's great, et cetera. Now, the other thing is, I've observed this county government, and I am infuriated when I write my tax bill for this county government. I'm at the waste, the incompetent disregard by the Board of Supervisors and the City of Santa Cruz City Council and the senior management of both. The disregard they have for being efficient and respecting the taxpayers' money. Which brings me to the needs for this. I voted for the $75 million in bonds. It's on the tax bill I pay. And now I'm not so sure you needed $75 million. I'm I've been on inspector general teams that went in and tore contractors cheating the federal government to shreds. I've been on teams that evaluated positive performance by efficient managers, Air Force bases, factories, and other things. Tragically, this city and county government don't meet any of the standards that I saw minimally in better performing institutions elsewhere, corporate and federal government. Which brings us back to this. This should have been evaluated months ago, probably 2 years ago. What are the real serious needs and requirements? What is the customer utilization for a library now and looking ahead to the 21st century? I haven't seen that analysis, and maybe it's there in the studies referenced. I don't see rigorous, informed discipline and analysis, which brings us to $23 million. I'll tell you, $23 million is a lot of money, and it's a lot of resources. I suspect what's needed in terms of the renovation for this building, even adding one more floor and maybe two, plus adding exterior toilets and showers for the homeless population, if that's the decision the City of Santa Cruz wants to do. And again, that should be accommodated.
Colonel, your time is up.
I understand. So put external toilets, put it on this and showers, put it on this, use this building, and come in for far less than $23 million. And then I suspect you could do it all for 15, and then there's $8 million to pay back to the taxpayers. That's what your approach ought to be.
It's everyone who signed up, but maybe there's someone else who didn't get a chance to sign up.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak that didn't sign up?
Hi, I'd just like
Could you state your name,
please? My name's Todd Hager. I'm a citizen of the county. I would just like to say thank you to Rena for going out and putting in that effort, because that's how we're going to find out what we actually need to do down here, by talking to the people. But I want to know, have you made a focus group of the taxpayers, the property taxpayers that are actually funding this bond? Have we focus grouped anywhere there? Because I'm a taxpayer, and I've never had anybody come to me and ask. I voted for these libraries, of course. The idea of a library, a central meeting place, is what we all kind of look back towards, our reminisce. But looking forward, do we know who our population, who's actually using the library now? Is it young kids? Is it 21-year-olds? Is it senior citizens? Because our population's aging. So what I'd like to say is, the young man in front of me and this young lady also, really focus on, and everything should be in context to the wording of the Measure S. Every single thing up here should be in context to what does that wording say. It doesn't say we need to spend all that money. We need to leave ourselves flexible. Let's fix up what we have, look to the future, and when the plan does come to us that just jumps out to everybody, we'll have flexibility. We'll have money. Maybe we'll have some money left in the budget to do the research or the benchmarking of other libraries. But right now, there's no real clear plan on how to do this, so to just jump in and tear down a building, I think, would really be a mistake. I think we need to really study what is the best use of this, because right now it's really sad. I used to love coming down here. I used to love bringing my kids down here. I can't bring my grandkids down here now, so focus more on who's paying for it. I've already paid my first installment. Got my first tax bill. There it was. So the money's coming, but it's really... you guys are the ones tasked to how are we going to spend it the best way? Leave flexibility. Leave us some flexibility. Don't put something down that we're stuck with forever. Leave us some flexibility and stick to that Measure S, if you would. Thank you.
Do not waste the taxpayers' money.
I'd like to just add that we did put our survey online, and also there was some pop-up surveys that went up throughout downtown. There is a full report on that, and I think it's available online, and you can look at the demographics. And, you know, I have a background in polling and in survey research, and I was very much pleased to see the the range of the ages. So, you know, urge you to look at that one.
Across the more of a broad spectrum, I'm 55, so I'm kind of in that tech middle of not being tech savvy and being past that stage. So I look at my emails and look at my emails about once every 2 weeks. So I think a lot of the population maybe that is involved coming down here, maybe they're not getting these surveys. Maybe a mailer, a Sentinel, and online, maybe a variety of ways to try and get some, just an idea.
Thank you. All right. If there's any more public comment,
I'll say one thing. If this had happened 30 years ago, you couldn't have predicted what you're going to need now. Mm-hmm. So why can you say now that you can predict what you're going to need 20 years from now? Technology has changed everything.
And your name was? So we can get it on the record. Okay, thank you. And let's see, now we'll move on to number 8, our general business. And the first topic is the review of the field trip we took with the City Council on November 7th.
And so I think the first question I have for you as a group is, I received a lot of comments about how interesting it was to go and see the Los Gatos library twice. And so I was curious if people would talk a little bit more about what they got out of that second round experience. And then I was hoping that you would debrief with each other sort of how the day went.
Would you like to start?
Well, I was saying at our field trip that I really appreciated the second time back. The first time we went, and individually I know that we've all gone to other libraries too. We've gone to Watsonville and Scotts Valley and libraries within our striking range. So when we went the first time, I mean, it's an incredible library. It's a, what, 36,000? 30,000 square foot library. It's has everything that, you know, I think a wonderful small library, you know, for, you know, a smaller community would want for the public. So, but when we went the first time, we hadn't built up all of our meetings, and we hadn't gotten all the architectural reports. We hadn't looked at the different options with the different prices on the different options. So the second time, you know, we could go and take a look at it with, a little bit more seriously with that perspective. So I really appreciated that. Where I am with it is it's really difficult because we looked at a library that has everything that we would want for our community. And I know that you talked about how can we look 20 years ahead. We couldn't look 30 years ahead to where we are now because we've gone, you know, so far. And we keep going faster and faster. But I really believe that it's, you know, our duty, whether we're on this committee or we're city council or we're, you know, directors of other institutions, that we need to look forward. I mean, it is our responsibility to look forward. So when I look at the library the other day, I want all of that for this community. The problem is that we don't have the money to do all of that for this community. So it's a little bit frustrating. I was unfortunately not here for the last meeting, so the partial 1A, which was what can we do for $23 million, I'm still not quite clear exactly what that is in regards to repair, modernization, just what that gets us, and program in terms of expanding in areas that we have seen in the survey and we see at that library in Las Gatas, a wonderful teen area, an expanded children's area, everything that we'd like to see here. Mm-hmm. Important for the future of this library.
I couldn't go, I was working.
Well, I was really gratified to be able to see it again. And especially see it after we had done some of the survey and other work about focus groups about what the community wants in the way of programs. I think it validated a lot of what we had heard from our community. I mean, but now to see it sort of, I mean, granted, that's a different community than ours, but it was obvious that they had listened to their community and expressed, you know, in the building. And it clearly worked. I mean, for example, the teen space. Before, the library wasn't used at all by teens and youth. And now they have the kind of problem you want to have where, oh no, we have too many teenagers. And I think it was I continue to be impressed by the work of having an architectural firm that specializes in libraries. I think Nolan Tam clearly does this. They have a long history of successful library projects, and they're bringing that knowledge to us. And I think that has been a great help. I'm a librarian. Martine Gomez is a librarian. I think we've gotten a lot of good. I was on the library board, the previous library board, when we developed Measure S and the facilities management plan. And I
know that the library staff here, under the previous administration, and now with Susan and all of her experience, we have really worked hard, very hard, over the years to put together a really good database of knowledge about this process. I know this group just started in June, but it's building on a database of knowledge that has been going on for years. And thankfully, we have the library staff to support us on that. Now we have Noel and Tam. I really feel like we've been well informed. I feel like we've done a lot of work ourselves in looking at libraries, not just locally, but at other articles and
nationally,
yes, on the possibility. And seeing Las Gatas again yesterday just validated all the things that we had heard about the programs and services that people in the community were asking for. And so I think from my perspective, it was exciting. It was exciting to share that with the city council, who have not had the benefit of all the things that we've learned in the last few months and some of us longer, and to see their excitement about what a main branch of the library and the community can be. And I'm really thrilled about what the possibilities for us are here, and I think we've been in good hands with one of them, with Susan.
I do want to say I think it's very difficult to imagine size. I personally have difficulty with that. So a similar size library is Watsonville. It's 42,000 square feet.
Oh, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm. You're referring to the library inside the
courthouse
there?
Excuse me, we're...
For clarity?
Yeah.
Okay.
Excuse me, yeah.
Okay. On one floor or two floors?
So I also really enjoyed seeing the library a second time. I felt like it was nice to revisit some of my favorite elements of the library, but what really struck me as was the strength of the library was the flexibility and adaptability of use and the public demand of space. Even within the last couple months that we've gone there the first time and visited there yesterday, they've already made a couple changes how the team space is used, how they're staffing the team space. And that was kind of really inspiring to hear their process and to think of how we could use that within our own branch going forward. You know, that we're going to make a recommendation and that will get built, but I think our strength and should be our flexibility and adaptability going forward.
Well, for me, it was my first visit to the Los Gatos Library, and I was very impressed. And, you know, I visited the Watsonville Library as well. And I grew up in Watsonville. I've lived in Santa Cruz now for decades. But, you know, certainly the Watsonville Library is also spectacular. I mean, what they've done there. This one, I was very impressed specifically with the technology, the ability to loan out laptops to the community. You know, they swipe their card, they could take the laptops. A technology room where you could actually invite nonprofits or businesses or any groups to do trainings simultaneously, and a room that seemed to have some flexibility as well, or could have some flexibility to be used as a community meeting room. I was impressed by the sorting room. Yeah. I mean, I just had no idea that could be done this way, so it reduced the space. Here it takes up a lot of space. There it was, I don't know, I mean, probably the size of a master closet or something.
I think it was a 10-bin system.
Yeah, and it was amazing to me that all of the cost-effectiveness that went into the building and just the welcoming of it. You know, the first thing you come into the building, you see this very nice staircase, and then you look over and you see children's. You know, the room invites you, draws you in. So I was very impressed with the library. And, you know, I'd love to see something like that for our community. I think we deserve something like that.
Yes.
You know, we just, you know, I mean, the architects did tell us then that they built this the library in Los Gatos during the height of the recession. So the contractors and everyone was, you know, they were glad to get the work. And you know, that is not the, you know, the reality we're in presently.
Can I ask something about that, though? Because they made it clear that it was not, even then, they had to engage in value engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was impressed this time and the last time we saw it was that even though it looks like really high-end, plush, you know, that they actually did it at with a fairly modest budget. I was really, and I think that's where the architect really can be so creative in helping, you know, reach the maximum with the minimum of what you have to build.
I agree, yes. And the natural lighting and how the stacks were positioned and the tables, they were so that no one could, you know, hide. I mean, wherever you are, you know, there was some visibility, whether it's from a patron or from the staff. So it was just very well laid out. I was very impressed.
Some impressions I had is echoing some of what you said already is that just the flexibility of the space. It makes me realize just how important that flexibility is, because I know that they've had to change a lot of things from their original vision, but they've been able to accommodate that, and that's impressive. Also, the genealogy, because the first time we went through, I didn't even pay attention to the genealogy space, and now that I've been made more aware, it's really pathetic, and I would really love to not model our library after that. Just, you know, I think we have so much local history and that we can be bringing in visually, display-wise, and also accommodating some kinds of space is more important to me, seeing it being done so poorly. Not to be negative, but that was my impression. The thing, there are two things that really stuck with me. One is just that it made me realize how much of the library, the heart, is the children and the teens. And how much of a community, I think, the heart is the community and the teens. And I know that Santa Cruz is, like, they call it a graying population, but I think that we need to really give our children and our teens reasons to stay here, and families reasons to stay here. And a vibrant library like that, a vibrant children's room, that's a huge reason to, it builds community. I know I took my kids to all the story times, but if we could have had, you know, had a nicer library to keep going to those story times, had a teen room that they could keep on using the library, it just gives us one more reason to be here with all of the economic reasons not to be here. So that just kind of drove home that fact to me. Another thing was that I missed the meeting room, and it, you know, just it's 30,000 square feet, and you know, that extra square footage, I think our community really needs that. The main thing that it made me a lot less willing to give up our vision. So to go from that to this, and knowing that vision could be somewhat possible, it makes me really want to figure this out, because I think our community deserves to have a really nice place. I think our children and our teens deserve to have a nice place. I think the technologically, I think we deserve to have something that is a focal point and that brings the community together.
I'm up. Okay. Still making notes to myself here. So my second time at the Los Gatos Library, it felt like a lot of the same things that I noticed the first time, I continue to notice and really appreciate the second time. It's really just, it's so warm. It's such a warm, inviting space. It's really very, very comfortable. It feels like an old friend. You know, you want to stay, you want to hang out, you want to visit that friend again. And, you know, you go, and even though I had seen it, and you can see it all fairly efficiently because it's so small, you know, I didn't feel like, you know, oh, I saw this, I don't need to see, oh, I saw this, I didn't need to see that again. I mean, I wanted to walk around and look at everything and touch everything and hang out in all those different sections, even though I had done that before. I mean, it's really, it's the kind of place that you want to stay. And that's just, you know, probably my largest impression. I also noticed, you know, they had, let's say, the luxury of new construction. And so there's, you know, the design for efficiency, the modernization, it's just built in. It's not added on after the fact. The power outlets in the floor where you need them, not in the walls where you don't need them. The floor is not solid concrete, so you can extend those utilities easily. It's, you know, it's built, you know, so someone said you can't really predict the needs of the future, but you can, you know, and that's true, of course. But you can build into an architecture certain mitigations, let's say, for things that you know are going to come up in the future. And it seems like they did that fairly well. The children's section, you know, Rena, you mentioned the children's and teens being the heart of a library. And, you know, to see that the children, this is a small library, 30,000 square feet. The children's section is 25% of the building. You know, that's just, that's amazing. That's a very large percentage of the building, far larger than we're talking about dedicating even in the most generous plan that we have. And it's a small library. Now, consequently, there's trade-offs, right? So the overall adult collection is significantly smaller than ours. You can, you know, you can run through the fiction section pretty quickly in that library. But, you know, they did a great job for a small community library in maximizing what they did choose to have. And you can see the trade-offs. There's no community rooms. There's one small study room. And but, you know, they did a good job. It's a place that I'd like to visit, and I would want to go back. That's all.
Well, I would validate, I think, everything that everyone said, so I don't want to repeat it. I appreciated going because it reminded me of why the heck, however many months ago, I had turned in an application to be on this committee. Mm-hmm. I'm an educator. I'm a parent. I earned my PhD at UCSC. I've lived here over 25 years. Libraries, to me, are hearts and souls of the community. They negate divisions, socioeconomic divisions. They provide access to information. They provide access to technology. They allow people to gather and come together. They allow people to feel safe, to spend the afternoon with an old friend. Mm-hmm. And I think at times with all the paper, I lost a little bit of just remembering this is what we're trying to do. This is what we're trying to do. And I paid a lot more attention to all of the donors that made that library, right? I mean, they had different grant funds to build it, but I paid attention this time to every room had different plaques, different markers that community got behind this and said, we deserve a place like this that will last 30, 40 years. They were so proud of it. So 5 years old, they were so proud, the two times I've been, to show it off, say, look how good it still looks. And it should, and it does, right? But I could feel that from the people, the staff that we interacted with. They were proud to host us, right? Encourage us on this journey. And so I just appreciate that reinvigoration and reminder that, like Yolanda said, our community deserves this. I have two kids, 8 and 12. I want them, if they decide to grow up, to stay here when they're adults, if they can afford to stay here when they're adults, I want them to be able to come to this library and still be proud of it. They love the library. I'm getting all emotional now. They love reading, but they don't love this space. They don't. And I want to change that. They deserve that. You know, they deserve that. If we want families to stay and kids to grow up to be adult readers and information gurus and collaborators and learn how to have meetings with each other and talk through their differences, this can be that space for this community. And it should be. And part of that is finding a way to build the structure where that organically happens. And I think that's part of what you pick up when you go in the Los Gatos Library. You feel like, yeah, I want to talk to somebody or work with somebody, and I can, because look, here's a room I can just go into, and here's a computer I can just swipe. It blew me away. I didn't realize when we went before that the high school students use their high school ID card as their library card.
Oh, yeah.
Easy peasy. What an invitation, right? You don't need to get your parents sign off on anything. It's just you're already in.
I have to say, we were so excited about that. We had a meeting about it yesterday. And I guess the technology's evolved.
And they had the textbooks that they're using.
The simplest idea.
Oh, right. Yeah, and that was one of the things that came out of the Boys and Girls Focus Group. They said, we wish our library had our textbooks there.
Right.
You
know,
so, and it was good to see.
That should be easy to do.
Yeah. So there's a lot of little details like that, but the bigger thing is that it has the... It feels like it manifests the heart of their community. Okay. And ours will be different. We're a different place, but I want it to feel that same way and provide that service to everyone. I'm a taxpayer. I wrote the same tax bill. You know, we're all in this together. Sometimes I feel like the public common and us are very antagonistic. You know, there's a lot of antagonism, and we're all here because we want this to be the best library for this community. Because we all deserve it. And I want everyone to be proud of it. And I want everyone to come to it. That's all I have to say. Somewhere there's more notes, but that's it.
Thank you. Sure. I couldn't go to the second tour of the Los Gatos Library yesterday, and I'm sorry about that. But I did have a chance. Last week I had a tour of UCS's library.
Oh.
And I have to say, I went in with really different eyes. I mean, it wasn't a really thorough and complete tour, but what I left with was the librarians all were really proud that a crisis on campus, that is the housing crisis, where they have converted all of the lounges in the dorms into sleeping areas, has brought about a new sense of community and vibrancy for their library. Hmm. And they were all proudly saying, our library is packed now. We are finally the hub of the campus. Hmm. And I looked around, and the cafe was packed, and you know, beautiful light coming in, and they did a really good job. But just the feeling of it was this really almost ethereal combination of quiet intellectual pursuit and study, mm-hmm. with a social vibrancy that really struck me as a difficult balance. But one I really hope we can somehow achieve. Mm-hmm. When I think about the teens, and I just dig that you did that, I love listening to teenagers. I just think they are so much smarter than people give them credit for. Teenagers don't have a place to hang out. They need a place to hang out that's safe, that might plant a kernel of the word comes to me in Italian, volontà. What's the word? Come on, like, to learn something, some spark, and we just don't have that here. It's just not a welcoming environment for the teens, and that's what I really loved about Los Gatos. Yes, they are absolutely contiguous, adjacent to the high school, so there's that. But we're not that far from Santa Cruz High School. I don't know if their library is open, like, after school hours, But where do teens go? They don't go to the Boys and Girls Club because it's considered too youngish.
They're too young, yeah.
Yeah. And so I just wanted to add that.
There's also a fee base, and that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Pay to be a member.
Oh, yeah. And Boys and Girls Club. Yeah.
But did you say voluntar?
Voluntar.
Yeah.
The will. Thank you. A one-syllable word just escaped me.
Yes, may I mention one other thing?
Sure.
I had a nice talk with Christopher Cron on the bus, and one thing that really stuck with me from that is kind of the lack of partnership with UCSC,
yeah.
And just I'm not really sure what to do with that, but it just seems like it should be part of the conversation in some way, and it hasn't really.
I want to follow up on that because when we were, I'm on the Library Advisory Commission, and what was it, a year ago, we did the strategic plan, and we helped with the library strategic plan, and we did interviews. We sort of all fanned out and did one-on-one interviews with people, and that was something that came up over and over again in the interviews that I did, was wouldn't it be great if the public library had more opportunities to bring the university into town. And I mean, they're already doing science programming, but there was, I heard this over and over again, that there was an opportunity there that happened.
Thank you, everyone.
And I don't mean to hijack the agenda at all, but we do have two city council members that
Could you say, the way, who was with us yesterday, just for the record?
It was Sandy Brown, who's here, and
Chris Crown,
who's here, and let's see, Cynthia Matthews, and Cynthia
Chase, and David Terrazas.
Yeah, so we had five city council members, too, and it was their first visit, too. The Las Cadas Library. Do you have any impressions or comments?
Thank you for asking. you got the sense that it was much bigger than our library because so much of our space here is not being integrated into the public space, I guess. I was really impressed. $22 million is the cost of the library. And 30,000 square feet. I love the light, the glass, and the visibility. There's a security feeling too for parents. You know, you can see the library. People working in the library can see the children's section, as has already been said. The outside gardens. I don't know if folks talked about that. There's two of them, and that was really very cool. And they had books. You know,
yeah.
And I was thinking of bookending the children's books. But maybe books have been banned in other places. The way they did with the teens on one corner of the building and the children's section on the other side. They had these diner booths that were very cool.
Yeah, for the teens,
And the lights, I don't know if you see the fixtures, light fixtures, But I would be remiss not to just say the three elephants in the room that I would feel, just, and I'm not going to make a comment on this or anything. It wasn't attached to a garage. There weren't any homeless people outside. And there was a definite sense that labor was not as respected, in my opinion, in Los Gatos as it is in Santa Cruz, given that they only had 35 people for 30,000 square feet. And I believe we have 93 positions, maybe 150, I think you said, total people working here. I don't know if it has to do with respect, but I have a feeling we decide. So those three issues, I think, are big for me, too. And I know Sandy Brown was saying.
And I just have to say that, though, the 150 people are 10 sites, so.
Yeah, no, they're not attempts. That's what
I agree with everything that people have said here really resonated with me, and it was amazing to see how the attention to detail and then some of the design elements, I mean, things that are really simple that would make this, make a welcoming space where people want to go. And, hearing the experience of more teens actually coming into the library now and getting the sense that people really have a lot of pride in
the library, and it's a place people want to go, was pretty cool. I mean, underutilized. I mean, we had. I actually thought it was a bigger site than our library before we started talking about it, and I was shocked that it's really that much smaller because of the way it's so open and the way it's been designed. So I do think that there's a lot of potential. I agree that, you know, one of the elephants in the room, and this is going to be very difficult, and obviously the financing of it and, you know, the attachment to a garage, potential attachment to a garage, are big debates in this community, and we are going to have to work through them together. I look forward to but we have to, right? Because I think that we, as you know, we're a community that's really committed, and we've shown that. So I know we'll be able to do that. And we don't have too much delay in that, because as I'm sorry, I forgot. What's your Colonel?
Maxwell.
Maxwell. Said really TikTok. People are starting to pay the bill, and we need to find a way to make it happen. But I just want to say another thing about the labor question, because I come from a labor background, and I really support the librarians and all the workers in the city, and workers in general. So I just asked, when we were in that lovely sorting room, that was, everybody was really kind of fascinated by it. Wow, they have these machines that do all the sorting. We don't need people anymore, so we don't need a lot of space. But that, to me, is something that, along with that goes, I asked the one person in that room, about labor conditions there. And I asked how many workers are temp. They have three full-time workers who are in a bargaining unit. It's an independent union. The town employees association. She said, we have no bargaining power. Everybody's a temp, unbenefited. And I think that's a real, I have a commitment not just to the facility itself. Because what makes our library is not whether or not it has, the pretty glass, stained glass portal, although I love that. I have to say that was really amazing to see. I want some here. But it's really about the people who make the library, keep the library running, and engage with the people to come in, the patrons. So, I'm glad that the city of Santa Cruz, that the Santa Cruz libraries, and we've maintained a commitment to that. So I hope that with our tendency to fetishize technology as a society, we don't forget that it's really people who keep the library running. And, I guess those are my brief observations or nothing. Looking forward to working, make it happen.
And I will point out that our detailed program statement does not consider the sorting machines. I would say that I have a lot of experience with implementing sorting machines, and I think you have to have a certain scale of business to really make them worthwhile. They do require actually a lot of human intervention, and I would not recommend at our service levels that we do that, because they are quite costly, and the maintenance on them is quite costly. I implemented a 36-bin system. It was the coolest thing in the world. The Boy Scouts loved it. But but I think that it is an interesting sort of analysis about when does this really make sense for an organization. I don't think it does. And so we didn't write it into the program.
There's one person we're missing that went on our tour. Dan, would you like to say something about the genealogical on behalf, or just your impression?
Architecturally, it was useful to hear the thinking of the architects as we went on the tour. I found that particularly fascinating, because I think a lot about architecture myself, but either alone or with other non-architects. And so it was really helpful for me to hear the thinking. And just some of what I found that made it a nourishing space for me, since early boyhood, I have loved libraries and spent a lot of time in public libraries and university libraries. So I'm sensitive to that, and what I found wonderful in this particular library were so many interesting details that distinguished the various places within the library, rather than a sort of, I don't know, the word that comes to mind, it doesn't quite suit the purpose, but a lot of what I find problematic with contemporary architecture is the economism, that is, where you just have the same design elements over and over and over again, and it bores my alive mind crazy, you know? And this was a very imaginative, engaging place with lots of small places that made up the whole. I looked at the ceilings, the walls. I mean, there was just a lot of imagination in every space. So it was as far as the library being a community center and a place people like to come to, I think that aesthetic is really important, and a really important part of the functionality, which they also address. And I did notice the decision to really not address, you know, family history or genealogy there. But, you know, as I mentioned to at least some of you, that may be because very nearby in Santa Clara and San Jose, those libraries have done a superb job of addressing family history. And I hope at least, you know, one or two of you have a chance to go visit the Santa Clara Public Library and see what they have done. And theirs is a pretty new library also. So anyway, those were features that I found. I did think, I actually also am really happy with the what looks like a consensus interest both among you all and among the wider community around creating a library that invites and welcomes and draws young people, particularly, you know, in the later ages of the later stages of the school years, you know, teenagers, as well as even younger folks. But I think that the library is really important to young people, and you know, when it's thought that way. So I like that aspect of the community thinking, as well as the architects embracing the desire of the community. You know, Las Gatos High School is, I think, just across the street. I mean, there's a nice big park area. And I, just to close, I'm going to throw out a brainstorm idea, just for the value of brainstorms sometimes being willing to, or being a gate opening to a solution that otherwise seems hidden. And one possibility that is worth exploring in my mind is, I personally, this is not, I'm not speaking now as a genealogy society officer, but as a member of the community that does use the library, I do like the idea of renovating an already used space. And I like that idea because I think we need to find a way to enter the age of ecology and ecosystem. I know, I'm closing. So I like to reuse what already exists and maintain it and refurbish and so forth. If it does make more sense to build a new library and even relocate it, perhaps the parking lot that we've been talking about, perhaps that space makes sense, but without the parking lot. Maybe the library belongs there, and to create that space as a public plaza. And the farmers market seems really elated with the provision of the other parking lot a block or two over. So anyway, if the library, I don't think that the necessarily wedded together either here or there, and I would encourage exploration of wider possibilities.
Thank you. Right. Well, thank you all for your comments and your perspectives. See, we're moving on to, in general business, item B, review and further discussion of pros and cons, and just like to point out the time is by this clock, it's about 9 after.
Let me try and maybe combine B and C. What we're trying to move forward with is a recommendation to be made at the December 13th meeting. This is our last meeting as a committee before the December 13th meeting. My goal is not to have the report complete on the 13th and the recommendation made prior to that. I really think that on December 13th, that's when we're going to talk about the recommendations that the committee wants to make. We have been talking about having a community meeting. And basically, in conversations, I think that the piece we need to let some community engagement happen around is in part discussing these four options. And because I think people have so many questions about the costs and how they were created, I feel like we have to have the architect available at that meeting. So right now, we've been trying to find a date around the holidays, which are difficult. I think we're shooting towards December 3rd. The idea we would have a third party facilitate the community process, but that we would like committee members to attend. The 3rd is a Sunday. I know that there's many difficult days. I think the idea of trying to get a weekend day was that so that more potentially people could attend rather than evenings, because we've done a lot of our things on evenings. So are there people that for sure can't attend on the 3rd?
December 3rd.
December 3rd. Probably be 1 to 3. If you can't.
Oh, no.
Oh. 2. I still think that's pretty good attendance in light of our committee group.
Someone can check with Martine.
I'll check. We've been having really poor luck on getting a date between now and December 13th. I'll just tell you that. Probably 1 to 3, so it would be a Sunday afternoon. And here.
Where were you thinking of having?
Here. And so it would be group top table exercises with reports out. But it really would allow the public to engage these four concepts and pros and cons more directly.
And someone would be facilitating the table. We wouldn't be.
I think we'll have a main facilitator, and I think you could participate in the tables, but I think we really want to hear from the public sort of their reactions. In many cases, the things we've been talking about is, you know, there's sort of competing priorities like staying within budget, staying on the current property or not going to the other property, whether that some people perceive those as different or the same, achieving our programmatic goals. And then I've heard other sort of major considerations. I think it's really important that we get those out on the table as we move forward with making a recommendation. So the other thing I've asked the architect to be doing over the next month is an architect's report, which I think will be different from your report. The architect will describe their process. They will talk about the siting criteria you developed with them. They will do the 50-page program and the summary that we created with Penny. They will include the design considerations that you all created, and then they will do the four options, costing, and consequences. And so the architect report I see as sort of a separate technical document from which you will write a report on the top of that that said, here's the process we've had, and here are the recommendations that we're going to make. And I think it would be better and more credible if you wrote the report rather than having staff write the report. And we'd be more than happy to edit or to offer data that you need. But I think we really do need a group of 2 to 3 people to work on writing the report. We have Elise's overview. We also have Rena's sort of first phase status update. So I actually think, you know, half of it is done. And the truth of the matter is we don't have to have the other half done until after December 13th when the committee's characterized their recommendation. But I think those two things, and I almost see your report maybe as a memo to the city council saying this is what we're recommending, and the architect's report being an addendum to that. Are you comfortable with that approach?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would, and I'm happy to write it, but I would also like to put something together for the public for that December 3rd meeting. I'm happy to do that.
It would be good to have a talking point.
And not in like a architecture language, because it's slightly different.
Yeah. And so I know we have the communication subcommittee, but this is also an opportunity for some other people who might be interested in doing this. Do I have volunteers to help me plan basically the December 3rd and do that overview sheet? I think we can work off of what Elise has already created.
Yeah, I'm happy to help.
So, and then I also need someone who's helping. I think we need to have two groups, one working on the recommendation report and one working on this meeting.
I'd like to help with the recommendation
report. I'm happy to do both.
Okay.
So you said
recommendations.
The actual meeting, planning of the logistics of the meeting.
One's for the meeting.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, Yolanda. Mm-hmm. And Rena said you'd do it.
I'll help with the meeting.
And And I don't think I need more than that. So how about in terms of writing the written report?
I'm happy to help.
I can work on the written report instead of the meeting. I can't do both.
Do you mind if I could get maybe the three of you, and then I could get it'd be nice to have different people get involved. So Rena, which one would do you want to do?
I'm happy. I can't be at that meeting.
So maybe write on the work on the written report. Is that okay?
That's fine. I'm better with writing.
I can write.
And then if I have Yolanda, Teresa, and Linda on the meeting, is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are we good with that? Then I will schedule those meetings off sites.
I think we're on the written report.
You guys are on the written report. And I've got Yolanda, Teresa, and Linda on the community meeting. Okay. So then I think the last time we talked, we threw a whole bunch at you at the last meeting. And I know people were thinking about the pros and cons, but we said we would give you a second chance to have the conversation about this. I apologize, Linda. Nolan Tam was supposed to send me the written document, and I was gone all day, and I looked at 5:30, and it wasn't there. So I will get that out, and I will get it up on the Measure S website. Basically, what I wanted them to do is have option A, B, C, and D, and do it from lowest to highest, with option A being we spend $23 million to remodel this, option B being the multi-use, option C being remodeling this building, and option D being new construction, so that we can just simplify it and put it, I'm a linear person, I want lowest to highest, so that
why
people
do we
understand.
Why do we have to look at two options that are going to be almost $50 million? That's what I don't understand. We only have $23 million, so why are they taking it on?
Gene, we're done with public
comment. I'd be happy to talk to you about that after the fact.
So what I'm hoping we'll see on that part.
partial A1. That's the $23 million.
And I think we're going to call that A from now on.
A.
Oh, and the other one's B?
Yeah.
Can I change?
Will you change them? Okay, I just can't handle A1s. And
yeah, from Nolan Tam.
Right.
In terms of modernization of repair, I'd like to see exactly what the priorities are there in terms of what they can do within that dollar amount.
We have, I'll find it.
I think they did do that, so we'll show you. And there's a list of what they can't accomplish, so.
Because I think we are unclear as to exactly what that entails.
Yeah, just to amplify what Linda's saying, I mean, I did see that list, and it's fairly compressed. I wish they would. I would like to ask them to just kind of expand this a little bit and give us some more words about what's in, what's out, what we're not going to do, what we are going to do.
And
it needs a little bit more explanation, because that's the most critical one. The other three plans, we kind of know what we're getting into, for better or worse. This one we kind of left to them to say, figure out what you can do, knowing what our priorities are. But it was just kind of fuzzy. Yeah.
So the
and then we could look at it and kind of figure out, okay, so this is going to be this much, and they can only go this far, and then this piece over here is this much, and they can do that. Then we can kind of look at it and figure it out, because I sort of understood from them when we walked through the building yesterday that in terms of the air handling, you know, they could do something, but some of the old systems would still remain in place. And I didn't quite understand, you know, what that was, why that and not something else, or what they do or don't know, like does the roof need to be replaced or doesn't it, or the seismic. The first time they reported to us in one of the meetings back, I thought that I heard that the seismic was pretty good, that this building had been seismically upgraded, but then I got a sense that in this A, it was going to need a lot of seismic work, so I'd like all that clarified.
There is a report.
And I think we did go through this last time, so one of the things I might do is set you up with a phone call with Eric.
Okay.
Because I think you weren't here the last time and you missed.
I'd love to be on that.
Okay. The other thing I just want to say, though I will ask them, I think you're right that we have to spell this out in writing more in a final report. It's not adequate based upon what they physically gave us last time. Yeah.
The other thing I want to say is that that option was $25 million or $24.9 million, just to make sure that we're really comparing the problem.
Yeah. They assumed fundraising, and I think you can assume some fundraising in all of these.
Yeah, they assumed fundraising for all the soft costs, the $2 million soft costs, and so when you add that back in,
it's over budget.
Because otherwise it's just not.
And should I ask them to redo that piece? I think that's apples. I think it should be written a little bit more of a narrative because what we're seeing here is just a little more detail.
I think that's a good idea, the narrative to add to that.
You brought some business.
We'll hold the comments till we talk to you after the meeting.
Yeah, under the Browns Act, we're required to.
We already have public comments.
Even if it
this
isn't,
is not a Brown
Act. Under standard
protocol,
you're required to do new business. And the new business is, and it's rather astounding.
Please, I have a question for Susan. Is there a project manager involved in this? Please sit down.
Is there a project manager involved in overlooking this?
Please.
With any confidence?
Please.
I see nothing but incompetence demonstrated.
So where were
so
we?
So there is no project manager.
Please. Where were we?
So I think
narrative,
we have...
We were discussing the possibility of getting a narrative.
I think also is, do people want to spend more time with these options tonight to fill out these worksheets more?
I think it's worth 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. I have a question about one of the options. On the full option A, stood still A, the full, one on the con, it says that lack of control of exterior space, this is just a clarification for myself, lack of control of exterior space, but then on the pro, it says that allows full program and structural goals. So does that,
I know what that conflict. Oh, I had just made that comment for the lack of exterior, control of exterior space. And I think what I was meaning last time was that we had talked a lot about the defensive architecture and that we wouldn't be able to, like, that the exterior is exactly the same. Like, we can't get rid of those corners or push the building out to the sidewalk.
Exactly.
So that's what that comment
And I can address the other on the, what was it, the... On the pro side,
allows full program and structural goals.
It would allow us to use the full 44,000 program space, whereas in the what is now A, we would not be able to renovate the back of house space. So we would be limited to, what is it, 36,000 program space.
And I think actually that's a really good point, Martha. One of the things the architect isn't doing is really they had you create the program.
Yeah.
So now we have 46,000 square feet of program goals and 36,000 square feet of space. So, and they're not going to come back and tell you programmatically what to prioritize. That really would have to be part of your work.
Well, when the option is chosen to move forward on,
you'd have to do that work.
If we came up with 46 and it needed to go down to 36, then decisions would have to be made at that point.
Yes.
Yeah.
What they're giving you a list on what was A1 really is they are giving you their best evaluation of what infrastructure needs have to happen. Though I think so what was clear is, like, for example, they would not replace the windows. The windows are 50 years old. And that would mean that the windows would not last another 50 years. You'd have to replace them as you go. It's that kind of...
Well, and the mechanical would still be...
I think it updates the boiler and the duct work. It doesn't change the approach to air handling that we have with the big sort of flue system. So.
And then there was something on the roof also.
Patch as necessary.
May I add some?
Sure.
And just the one last thing on the seismic is in the major remodel, it is going to trigger more code issues around seismic, so that you spend more money on seismic issues was my understanding. And if you keep the box the building, you're going to trigger. There's some major seismic issues about changing the entrance, and you know programmatically we've had a lot of problems with the entrance, the way it is. For a lot of reasons, not just the homeless, but where the book drop is, how people gather in front of the side entrance, and you can't park your bike out front, and there's, you know, just so many issues with that that we can't resolve. But if you don't take that on, the seismic issues aren't as triggered. It's the more you get into changing things, the more sort of, and we won't be up to code unless we go with the $37 million, but we will be accepted by the city because we won't be triggering all of those seismic changes. That's my layman's interpretation of what they said. But that's, you know, the real, we kind of talked early on that we weren't going to expand up or out in order not to trigger all the seismic, and we have already made some of those decisions because they were so costly. Yes. So the big issues are the elevator and the bathrooms, so the plumbing would be completely done.
Mm-hmm. And the elevator replaced.
And the elevator would be replaced.
Both elevators?
Both elevators would be replaced.
And the electrical in terms of
would be upgraded.
The technology?
It would be upgraded. We still have the issue around the concrete floor. You know, this is why it's hard to piecemeal and make it a cumulative thing, is things like that can HVAC ductwork and the complication or the complexity of it, and electricity and the complexity of it has a lot to do with how many interior walls you create. And so it's not as simple as saying you do something or you don't do something. The more interior walls you create, the more complex the ductwork and electrical systems have to be. I think we can keep the plumbing pretty standard. You tend to coordinate off into certain areas of the building so you're not spending a lot of money. And there are ways to make elevators more cost efficient by co-locating them. But
They also said that bearing in mind that the back of house space would stay the same, the rest of the space, the interior walls, and there would be flexibility in what could be done. It wouldn't have to be the existing walls that are in there now.
We do have a big open space, and I have to say that is flexible. The more you chop something up, the less flexibility you have. And so we could reconfigure to some degree. But again, that changes your ductwork if you have fully enclosed something.
Did the partial look at breaking into this big space up here?
So it basically
the kids area
leaves it all unfinished.
It didn't look at that at all.
You can't do it.
The space downstairs.
You can't.
But you could create it as an expansion possibility. I mean, a lot of people do this with their homes where you buy a house and the basement's unfinished. It would be
future. Can I ask a question about the back of house being untouched? Does that include the asbestos floor tiles? Does that include some of the health concerns that
was
saw?
My understanding.
So that would just be left.
I'm assuming they would do the electrical and the duct work. You know, we could afford to paint on our operating budget. So. I don't want to leave the impression that there's loose asbestos anywhere in this building. Everything that we have is enclosed, but the moment you open something up, then you have to deal with it.
Any more pros and cons?
I would like to add some. This is my own personal opinion, so I don't know if it goes on there, but it seems to me that that for the cons on part A, that it's not really fiscally responsible in the sense that we have the roof costs, and is that we know right at this minute that there are expected costs that will be coming up. That it just doesn't seem to me particularly fiscally responsible to say, yes, this is exactly, we're in the budget where we know that there's all of these other costs that will not be addressed maintenance-wise. That's my personal opinion, but the other thing that I heard on the public comment last time was that about the climate goals, that the parking garage does not meet the city's climate. They have a city standard of climate goals. I think Pauline said it, but I don't have that note right there, but I'd like to include that in the
So it's inconsistent
the
with
garage.
Their climate action plan, I think, is
yes,
what she said.
That
the shared space?
In the shared space that there's
okay.
Yeah, that there's the just mentioning something about the climate action plan.
I just would add a con to that.
Are you
done? Oh,
I can be done.
Okay. I was just going to tag on to yours since we were on that sheet. That I do think that stretching 44,000 square feet on one level, visibility is going to be difficult. It may look like you need more staff to cover in one layer that amount of space.
The rule of thumb is two stories requires more staffing.
You know,
but I get what you say about sight lines are going to be as good.
I go to Las Gatas thinking about how their sight lines were on one level and up to a second level. There was a lot of back and forth the way it was designed.
I worked with an architect who told me that their rule of thumb is if it's under 50,000 square feet, it can be one story. Mm-hmm. And the moment it gets over 50,000 square feet, it needs to go up just for sort of the ability to find anything. It overwhelms people. But libraries in California are built smaller. So.
The library closes.
Her team did say, the city manager did say, it could be a the parking garage is flexible if we really wanted a two-story building.
The restrooms will be locked 10 minutes before closing.
For that.
I have to say I did like that idea with the no parking garage, but a plaza, community plaza with the library at that site. sounded good.
I think that's really actually in, if we were to do that, it is a new construction two-story building, probably. You could do it as a one-story building, but
we wouldn't have to tear this building down.
Nope.
So the cost would, we would have to factor that cost in.
But on this two-story model, it is, the building is
fine. Yes.
Yeah. The only thing I would say is
the other site.
That is true.
But a new construction anywhere is going to be in that price range.
Oh, I see.
Black and blue.
Okay, so A is 24.9.
And that is with the addition of
the
private fundraising?
That includes all the soft costs.
Okay.
Which I think is more fair to.
And B was net 37.
That's 37.
38
rounding
off. Oh, 38.
38.
C was
49. 49. Yes.
D was
26,
27. 27.
And D is
27.
27.
It's 49.
We're not in order.
It's 49 million, but I don't know if it cares. It's just 49.
What's the other got rid of 9.9 million just like that. Just like that.
I knew it's a blue marker.
That visual is helpful.
Okay. I would just add a question that I got recently that I don't know if it. I took it as a possible pro for D, but she asked. So why you guys are spending so much time debating a space that's already a parking lot about the possible parking structure combination, right? Mm-hmm. Of just that she didn't understand why it was so controversial when it's already a parking lot. Yeah. And so I think that's an interesting question without an answer. But
I think that's one of the things that has us in made
do
clear.
You want me to write
that? I think, yes.
My understanding is that the church across the Episcopalian church across from the Nickelodeon owns the parking lot next to it. Mm-hmm. They want it back. So that all that parking space there is gone. And then, you know, we're building housing in another parking lot, so we're actually losing a lot of parking. So the parking structure would not replace all of that parking, but it would help.
You're still in that loss.
Yeah, I mean, the parking garage is probably going to go up anyway.
Martha, do you have any? You're a part of that church. Do you have any information about that?
I would say that it will be developed.
And have they made any decisions about how it will be developed?
It'll be housing.
Susan, can I ask a clarifying question? You kind of spoke about this earlier. So Penny developed the program for us to look at. And we've talked about how when we kind of come down and start putting price tags, I mean, that's going to come time for us to kind of cross out some of the things on the list that we came up with. So, but you kind of mentioned earlier that we would first potentially choose the direction we go in and then look at the program and cross out?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I wish I had a beautiful spelt out plan. I don't know. What do you think would be the best way to do that?
I was kind of just confused. Like, wouldn't the way that we maybe cross out items on the program impact the cost that we're looking at? So that's why I guess it seemed like a weird order to me.
So why don't I create an exercise for December 13th? I think the big thing that we would have to program to is the 36,000 square feet that's implied by one, and why don't we do an exercise that discusses what we would lose in that scenario from the program?
That would be helpful. And I know I want to also respect what you said earlier, that it isn't as black and white as, like, we cross something out and now we're getting, you know, this much more money back because it might impact things like floor. You know, I know that it's more complicated than that, but if we do need to make these decisions anyway about programmable square footage, I would like to do that.
I think that's a really good idea.
I think we've gone over 15 minutes. Because they're not going to renovate.
They can't afford it.
Yeah, no, they can't. But stay within the 23 minutes.
Is there any other business that we need to discuss? Any other more of the pros and cons? Then, if not, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. I mean, thank you.
I just want to say Nick and Laura got married. Sorry to embarrass you.
Do we sing?
Is there a song?
Is there a wedding song?
Congratulations to you.
I thought she was saying that we went over. I was like, we're not over. We stopped.